December series, and each Sunday morning we will be taking Christmas classics, some that are, well, most of these are children, but big kids like them too. In fact, we just watched Frosty the Snowman and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer last night at 42 years of age. And there's nothing wrong with that. Amen. I love that. So today we're talking about the Island of Misfits.
That's my favorite.
We can all relate to that. We're all, in some way, shape, form, or fashion, we're a misfit to somebody. We don't fit in to their agenda.
Amen.
We don't fit in to their cause.
It's
we don't fit in to their plan.
Yep.
We just don't fit in.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Amen.
And we have these stuffed animals up here just as a reminder. It's for some of you. Does anybody not know or have never seen Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and the Island of Misfits? Does anybody not know that story? Elena, we're going to make sure that this season you get to see that. Because as we were talking about the series for December and how I love Christmas, all of these movies have something in common. That we, you know, we watch them year after year, multiple times, and we can relate to that biblically if we really think about it. Because the definition of a misfit is a person whose behavior or attitude sets them apart from others in an uncomfortably conspicuous way. Now, I've been said that I was set apart. You've been said that you're set apart. And it's not just us. Each one of you have said, it's been said about you that you've been set apart. Because the Bible says we're a peculiar people.
Mm-hmm.
We're not like the world. We shouldn't be like the world. But as this famous cartoon that we watch year after year, I don't drop it. The story behind Rudolph was that he had a shiny, blinking red nose. And I think his daddy even said that his nose shined bright like a blinking beacon. Thank God I said that right. That's a mouthful. And whether you may have a shiny red nose, or maybe you are an elf who wants to become a dentist and not make toys, or a cowboy who rides an ostrich, or a Charlie in the Box. How fitting. A Charlie in the Box instead of a Jack in the Box. Or a polka-dotted elephant. Or a pistol that shoots jam instead of water. Or a train with square wheels on the caboose. Or a bird that swims. You see, all of these characters, while they're funny in talking about them and seeing them and watching them, we're really no different. Because much like these characters in a children's Christmas cartoon, we are also misfits. The Bible speaks several times of us as strangers and pilgrims. Pilgrims in a strange land. How we're just passing through. This is not our home. Thank God this is not our home, because it gets worse and worse by the minute. Amen?
Amen.
The moment, and you may say, well, I don't understand what that means. Are we aliens? Are we not human? Are we not supposed to live on the earth? The moment that we chose Jesus as Lord, Jesus is my Savior. We were adopted in. We were grafted in. And this world is no longer our home, our permanent home. Because the Bible speaks of that we're looking for a country, a better country. We're just passing through. That's why we are referred to as strangers and pilgrims. And that can be found in Hebrews 11 and 13. And in 1 Peter 2 and 11, we're just strangers and pilgrims walking through. We're misfits to the world because we don't belong here. We're foreign. And Jesus said to his disciples in John 15 and 19, if ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. All you have to do is turn on the news and see that the world hates Christianity. Anything that is morally right, the world objects to. It hates. It puts labels on things, on right. What was evil is now good. And what was good is now considered evil. Jesus later says in that same chapter, they hated me without a cause. And we're talking about the hope of a child. And December 1st starts what many call the Advent, where they start counting down the days until the birth of Jesus. Jesus, if you think about it, was the biggest misfit of them all. He came into a world that hated him without a cause. As soon as he was born, he was sought after by King Herod, because King Herod got jealous and said, there's rumors of a king, so I'm going to kill all the male children. But Jesus didn't come to be killed at that time. Jesus had an agenda and a plan for me and you. He came to bring us life and to bring us hope. He came into a world that hated him without a cause. He mingled with the poor and spent time with those that others rejected. Can you imagine what the world would be like if we spent time with those that others rejected? Those that felt like, you know what, I'm nothing. No one wants to have anything to do with me. In fact, I'm going to share a proud mama moment. My oldest son, many of you know that he works for Chick-fil-A and McDonald's, and he works the drive-thru, and he mentioned that there was a homeless man that he saw wandering around in the parking lot, and no one would pay him any attention. And he went up to him and spoke to him, and he was talking rather quickly, but he also said, no one will even acknowledge me. I'm not asking for money. I'm asking for food. I'm hungry. And as my son was telling me this, I was thinking, oh, dear God. Because, you know, this day and age, you can't just walk up to anybody. No. You can't be nice to anybody.
That's the truth.
You just don't know, because people have taken advantage and appeared to be homeless, and they rob you or they shoot you out of evil and hatred. And so at first I was a little fearful, because I thought, you just can't walk up to anybody. But as he started talking to me, he said, Mama, the man was hungry. He said nobody would even acknowledge him. Nobody would even shake my hand like I'm nothing. And he said, I stuck out my hand and said, I'll shake your hand. I'll feed you. You wait right here and I'll go in and I'll get you a meal. That does a mama's heart good.
Amen.
Because at minimum wage, working part-time, and he was willing to sacrifice his money for somebody he didn't even know, that made a mama's heart feel real good.
Amen.
But he said when he came out, the man was nowhere to be found. And I told him, I said, son, what you don't realize is the Bible speaks of angels unaware.
Amen.
You don't know who you were talking to.
Amen.
He may have went on down the road, and if he did, maybe somebody else took care of him, or, you know, God knows.
Amen.
But just as that man said, no one would even acknowledge me because of how I looked. No one would even shake my hand because they were afraid I was so dirty and filthy. Those are the people that Jesus went to first. Those are the people that Jesus sat down with. Our identity must not be determined by the world, but by God. Mm-hmm. Just as people looked at that man, that homeless man, at his outward appearance, the world looks at us, at our outward appearance. But thank God he looks at the heart. Amen. He doesn't judge us by what we act at the time, what we say. He judges us by our hearts. And puzzles have always been fascinating to me. Anybody like putting puzzles together? It's kind of therapeutic to me. You just sit down and you relax and you just start looking at the puzzle pieces. And to me, I like the harder puzzles, at least the 1,000-piece puzzles, because it takes a while. You can't just, you know, put it all together and then you're done. And I like taking time with it. Thank you. Puzzles are fascinating in that a beautiful picture can be created by placing unique pieces together that were designed by someone who already saw the bigger picture. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say that again because you'll get a hold of it in a minute. Because I'm not just talking about puzzles. I'm talking about life. Amen. Puzzles are fascinating in that a beautiful picture, the bigger picture, can be created by placing unique pieces. You do matter. You do matter. Each one of us is a piece to a bigger puzzle, Amen. To a bigger picture. By placing unique pieces together that were designed so intricately by someone
yes.
who saw the bigger picture first.
Amen.
Our lives are a lot like these puzzles. You can force a piece into a position, and many times, especially because this is where I have OCD. When my kids come in and say, I want to help. And I'm watching them and they're trying to fit a puzzle piece in. I'm like, that does not go there. You're going to get the puzzle piece all out of whack. It's going to come apart. The seams are going to come off. The picture, it's just not going to look right.
I can relate to that.
See? We want to do it in a hurry. And how many times have we tried to fit into places we had no business being? How many times have we tried to fit in or fit others in to a puzzle that didn't even belong? It didn't go there. It didn't fit. It was forced. But it wasn't the right one. Many times we try to do that. We try to fit in. And it just won't work. I can remember with looking at these stuffed animals as a child growing up, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer only came on one time a year. And it was usually through the week, and you didn't have VCRs back then, and you better be home watching it because they didn't have DVR. You just made your plans to be there, sitting right in front of the TV. You couldn't skip through the commercials. It was 30 minutes of just heavenly bliss. I'm watching Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And that brought me back to my childhood. And I can remember when I was in elementary school. And I've told you before, I never played with dolls. I thought it was a waste of time. These dolls don't talk back to me. What good is it for me to play with dolls? I was a tomboy growing up. I could go outside and get dirty. I loved playing in the dirt and ride my bike and do all these different things. I grew up with an older brother and sister who played different things with me. And then I grew up with 6 boy cousins. So when the holidays came around, we were wrestling. We were outside, you know, playing football, whatever. So I wasn't really a girly girl growing up. And when I got into elementary school, the big thing back then was playing kickball. It got real competitive playing kickball. And we would play in our class, and we would play class against class. And you could always tell when the people would come up close. It's a girl, she ain't gonna kick it far. Come up close, she's barely gonna kick it. We'll get her out and be done with it. And that happened to me. I can remember I got so excited. I was one of the last people to get picked on the team because I was a girl. And I thought, okay, I can deal with that. And I got it there to kick, and I saw them. Come on, move up. They moved up because they saw I was a girl. They looked at the outward appearance. And so it intimidated me a little bit until they rolled that ball and I kicked it over every one of their heads. I'm just running like crazy, and the looks on the boys' faces, that in itself made my day. Because just like that, you don't know the strength somebody possesses just by their outward appearance. Somebody who is filthy and dirty can be inwardly strong, if not stronger than you. Isn't it amazing how God sees the potential in every one of us? We look at ourselves as misfits. We don't fit in. Why am I even here? Why am I even a part of it? Why do I even think that I can change the world? Why do I even think that my life matters? Because God sees something in us that we don't see in ourselves. We don't realize the strength someone possesses until they have to use it. Them boys didn't know just because I was a girl I couldn't kick. They didn't know me. And I reminded them of that day after day. After that day, they didn't get up close because they knew, yep, she's a girl, but she can kick. Jeremiah 1:5 says, before I formed thee in the belly, I already knew you. I knew your ugliness. I knew how you were going to go up one minute and down the next. I knew that you were going to fail at certain things. I knew you were going to reject me. I knew you were going to use my name in vain. I knew that filth was going to come out of your mouth. I knew that you were going to do people wrong. I knew that you were going to get hurt. But I also know there was coming a day that the light would come on, the scales would fall from your eyes, and you would see who you are in me. Peter and John in Acts 4:13, they went and they prayed for a man who God healed. And the people that were watching, see, that's something important. There's people watching you day after day that you may not even realize. And in Acts 4:13, it says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. Has anybody called you unlearned and ignorant? Just me? I'm good. They marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Isn't it something so marvelous to know that what you did when you pray for somebody, it had nothing to do with you. It was because the God in you, you had been with Jesus. That's the important thing.
Amen.
Peter and John, I mean, you know, Peter was the one on the day of Pentecost. He was a filthy talker. He was a fisherman. He denied Jesus 3 times. He went and cut off Malchus's ear out of anger and then went back to what God brought him out of. And still, he was the one that stood up on the day of Pentecost and preached. Don't tell me that God can't use you. Don't tell me that you're too far gone. Because God will take the misfits like you and me and use us in such a way that the world will have to acknowledge that we have been with God. that we have been with God. It's nothing that we're doing, but there's something about us that's different. It's not what we do, what we look like, our qualifications, our education. It's none of that. It's who we know.
Amen.
And if it's who I know that makes me a misfit, I don't want to fit in. I don't want to fit into any group or clique or whatever that denies the power of God and denies Jesus himself. It just, I don't want to be a part of it.
Yeah.
Growing up, there have been times in my life, even recently, where groups of people would get together and it just didn't feel right. It just felt like I was standing back here and the group was over there. And it just felt, you know, like they were talking about different things, different, I don't know, partying and doing drugs and all this kind of thing. And as a child and a teenager, I did my fair share that my parents know nothing about. And they won't know anything about. But when it came to certain things that I knew, my parents told me not to do this. I had a fear of my parents. Because I knew I could partake in some of this stuff. But if they found out and when I get home, Daddy's wrath was going to meet me, and I did not want to take that risk. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and that's where the churches have failed.
Yeah.
There's no fear of God anymore.
Yeah.
If I fear my dad, respectfully fear him, how much more should we fear God? Because his word will not change. And if he said, don't do this,
amen,
and we say, it's okay, God will forgive me.
Mm-hmm.
How many times, Jacob, have we talked about the children of Israel in Sunday school, in Faith Factory? The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord.
Yeah.
How many times? But you know what? We all fall and come short of the glory of God. That's what the word says. We're not perfect. That tells me I need God every second of the day. I need God every moment of my life. There's never been a time where I said, I don't need God anymore.
Yeah.
Foolish words. I can be foolish about a lot of things, but saying I don't need God.
That's
stupid.
Some churches have even become misfits because they refuse to water down the truth of God's word. Abiding Love Community Church refuses to water down that word.
Amen.
We won't do it. We will not do it. If it's wrong in here, guess what? It is our responsibility to God, not to man, to preach this word. And if it steps on your toes, if it steps on our toes, guess what? They'll heal. But we won't be held accountable because we told you. We preach the word. There are preachers in churches who are playing with a devil who's not. I'm going to say that again. There are preachers in churches who are playing with a devil who's not playing. And they wonder why. You know, I began researching all these different things. God, why are there so many churches closing up? Why are there so many churches that people are flocking to it? And when you read about what their doctrine is and how they conduct themselves, no wonder they're flocking to it. Because it's a timed, feel good, get me out of here in 15 minutes. I got the world to live. But I can say I've been in church. And there's no conviction at all.
Yeah.
And I began to pray even last night, and I said, God, if our church doesn't grow, but we preach the truth, that's okay with me. If we preach the truth and we don't have millions of people, that's okay with us. Because at the end of the day, we have to give an account to you. I fear, just as I still respectfully fear my mom and dad, there's certain things I would never say to them, no matter how old I get, because I fear them, I respect them. That's how I was raised. Just as I respect them, I respect God even more.
Amen.
That I cannot be conformed by the world, but I should be transformed by the renewing of my mind to prove what is that acceptable will of God. I know it's not popular to say, well, there's certain things in the Bible that you shouldn't talk about because it makes people uncomfortable. As my son says, ill buff. It's all good. But we're held accountable to preach this word in all truth. That's what our calling is. And God said in several people in the Bible, if you don't obey, if you don't walk in the calling that I've placed you in, I'll raise up somebody else. We have to respect the word of God to the fullest. And if that makes us a misfit, okay, we'll be labeled misfits. We're good with that.
Amen.
Just being good enough is not enough. Just being a good person is not enough. Yes, we should love everyone, but we don't have to support their sin.
Amen.
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 Amen. There's not a person that would walk by me that I wouldn't say, I love you. Whether they be atheist, whether they be homosexuals, whatever it is. Because the Bible instructs us we are to love without reservation. We are to love. But when you start supporting the sin that they partake of, guess what? You're just as guilty.
Amen.
The church gets quiet. But you know what? I hope this resonates with some people. Because the churches in the world today, they're going along with the flow of the world. And they're losing the Spirit of God. And they wonder, where is God at in all of this? Where is revival? Where is the truth of God's word? You've kicked it out of the churches.
Yeah. Amen.
A kind word won't make demons tremble. A feel-good time sermon won't deliver you.
Yeah.
But it's when we come in here with our hearts and mind open to God, saying, I don't know what you have for me today. I know what's waiting for me out there. But I chose, God, to devote some time to you today. I'm going to forget about everything that's outside these walls. And I'm going to come in one mind and one accord to worship you.
Yes.
And when we do that, and when we say, I don't care who worships how they want to worship, because there may be coming a day that I get into a situation myself where I'm crying, I'm on my knees begging God, I'm doing all the, and I don't care if it takes an hour, I don't care if it takes 2 hours, because when you get in a position that makes you cry out to God,
yes.
Oh dear God, you won't be looking at the clock, you won't be looking at your watch. I'm saying some real truthful things this morning. But you know what? There are people in here who's hungry for something different. They're hungry for the healing of God. They're hungry for deliverance. They're hungry for joy. They are hungry for God.
Amen.
Do I have anybody here that's hungry for the move of God this morning? Romans 12 and 2. 2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." The problem is, we slowly see things conforming to the world, and they think it's okay. And they even say, "We're loving people. We don't speak the name of Jesus, but we're loving people. We don't have altar calls, but we love people. We don't pray for people by the laying on of hands, but we love people." If being a misfit church, that's an odd church on that hill, if you don't want your toes stepped on, don't go to that brick church on the hill. If you don't want to be out within 15 minutes, don't go to that church on the hill. But people may say that about us, but one thing they can't say, we take our time and let God. We gladly back up, because it ain't about us. I can't heal you. You can't heal me. But you let God come into his house. Oh my gosh, there are some things that can change. Revival will break out. Healing will take place. Deliverance, joy unspeakable.
Amen.
We may get some comments after this sermon. But you know what? You deserve pastors that tell you the truth. You deserve pastors that will gladly humble themselves. Get us out of the way. We'll sit down. Let God, you come in and do what you got to do. Because it ain't about us. It ain't about anybody. It ain't about our fame. It's not about our name. It's only by the name of Jesus that when we humble ourselves, that God will come in and do what he needs to do. If you think you're a misfit this morning, you've come to the right place. We're all misfits. We all don't fit in some way, shape, form, or fashion. We all say that every family has an uncle so-and-so that's weird, doesn't fit in. And if one of those family members is here, please don't look at them. Please don't point at them. It's good to laugh in the house of God. Lord knows we've shed enough tears. Amen?
Amen.
Don't think of yourself this Christmas season. Christmas, not holiday. Somebody says happy holidays to you, Merry Christmas. Don't take Christ out of Christmas.
Amen.
Don't you dare put Xmas on anything that you give me. You're taking Christ out of Christmas. No, it is all about Christ. It's okay that you're a misfit. Peter and John were misfits. The 12 disciples were misfits. That's what God uses as misfits. And if you think you're a misfit, you're right. God can use you. I want you to bow your heads with me this morning.